This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hello and welcome to Money Moves. I am Keith Irizarry, joined by Arielle Epstein, my good friend, the prop queen. And this is Money Moves on VSiN on a Friday afternoon as we kind of take a look back at what we've seen so far this whole week. Arielle, you got the NHL draft tonight. We kind of know Matthew Schaefer. He's going to go number one. Could be a whole plenitude of people going 2, 3, 4, 5. We got a recap of the NBA draft as well. Bunch of baseball stuff coming up this week. What was kind of the most exciting thing in sports for you this week? Was it all baseball?
Ooh, well, baseball is always exciting to me, but I think watching the NBA draft, not to say the NBA draft in itself is exciting, but it's always fun to look at how the futures market moves, to see in the NBA if there's another team up and coming like Oklahoma City. What I found fascinating from a gambling perspective, Keith, the Dallas Mavericks, they had the number one pick in the draft. They get Cooper Flagg, this generational talent that everyone was raving about at, what, minus 10,000 to go one overall. The Mavs are still 33-1 to win the NBA Finals. It's crazy.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I got in at 30-1 for them to win the NBA Finals. I'm not happy with it. The number moved, and I got the wrong number. It is what it is. On our guest list today, Arielle, we got Jensen Lewis, got Billy Body. Jensen Lewis, you know him from VSiN, covers baseball, played baseball in the majors, was a pitcher. Billy Body helped us break down UFC, boxing, soccer, so many different things. But Brian, we're a couple minutes in. Roll it. Let's do the rundown.
It's time for the top headlines and topics of the day. This is the rundown.
All right, so some of the important things that we have our eye on. It should be an interesting weekend. Here's what we know. There will be no NBA played. There's no NHL played. There's no NFL played. So you start looking to some
That's
other
weird.
Sports, the WN, right? Yeah, you start looking to the WNBA. We start looking to maybe lacrosse, huh?
Hell yeah, we've got Premier Lacrosse. I'm repping if you're watching it on any of our video services. Then I'm repping right now the New York Atlas sweatshirt. By the way, Premier Lacrosse gear, top notch, Keith.
Love it. All right. Number two on our list, we're going to hit the prop shop. And if anybody has been following Arielle and myself over the last couple of years, you know we love our player props. She's going to hit you with a bunch of the pitcher props. I'm going to hit you with a bunch of hitter props. I like what I did there. Hit you with hitter props.
I love it because we've been doing this now for probably, 5 years going back and forth where yeah. I've been giving out pitcher props. You are the only person I rely on to look at these hitter props because they're so all over the place. Like you could have, I was looking at it yesterday on the Prop Queen pod. I said to the audience, I said, okay, Juan Soto's been hitting well. You had Matt Olson hitting well. He had a good matchup. And Ronald Acuna Jr. All three of them had a really good matchup yesterday. And what happens? We decide to parlay a Juan Soto base hit with a Ronald Acuna base hit. And Acuna ends up going over four.
Acuna bit me as well on that one, too. He was on my ledger yesterday, and he went 0-4. I was not happy about it. I do not appreciate you bringing
that back. Don't worry, he'll go 3-4 tonight.
Nice. So maybe we should, bet the mortgage on it. All right, next one up on our list, on our rundown, the pitchers yesterday. So some good and some bad and some scary, and I think that's where we'll start things off. So, Arielle, we live in a world right now where Achilles injuries seem to be the thing that everyone is talking about, coming off of the NBA Finals with Halliburton, coming off of, you know, a couple of years ago, Kevin Durant, coming off of Dame Lillard, coming off of Jason Tatum this year. And now it's making its way potentially into the baseball world. Griffin Canning, who's been very up and down this year, that's neither here nor there. Yesterday, came off the mound. It was clear he was in pain right away. I actually wasn't watching the game live, Arielle. I got a text from actually Stormy and Brian. Did you guys see that? And right away, I quickly looked, and I'm like, yeah, that looks like an Achilles. This is getting scary, Arielle.
It's scary, and for the Mets, it's even scarier because now they have four pitchers on the IL. Sean Manaea, Kodai Senga, Tyler McGill, and now you're going to lose Griffin Canning. The Mets are so injury-bitten right now on the mound. At some point, you have to wonder, Did they go out and get somebody at the trade deadline? Is this going to be what their, no pun intended, Achilles heel is on the season? I didn't trust their pitching to begin with, but now that they've been all banged up, this is just another nail in the coffin for the Mets pitching rotation.
Weird season for the Mets, too. And both you and I do stuff over at SNY also, so we are kind of ingrained over there, too. And the question mark for this team was supposed to be the pitching. Then it started out, yeah, first 2.5 months of the season, best ERA in all of baseball. So is this more regression to the means, or is this a tough bump, or what do you expect?
You took the words right out of my mouth. It's regression to the mean. There's a good friend of mine, Yanni the Greek, out in Las Vegas. He's known as Vegas Runner. He always looks at this time of the year to the teams that are doing really well or really poorly. Even the Colorado Rockies. Yanni was like, hey, everyone regresses to the mean. Even if you're the worst team in baseball, at some point you're going to do better. And the Rockies did have a point where they were doing better. The Mets, I said it from the beginning, I didn't understand how there were some spots that they had about the same odds as the Philadelphia Phillies to win the division. Now, granted, the Mets did take the lead in the division again, but the Phillies are still the favorites. And again, the Braves, I can't bet them to win the division, but there is a ton of value on them to make the playoffs. That's a playoff team, Atlanta, that I would have a lot more faith in than the New York Mets. I mean, their pitching last year, it was some miracle that this Mets team made it as far as they did to the NLCS. The bats carried them there, just like any good offenses can carry a team in the NBA and the NFL. But in the end, it doesn't get you to the World Series, and it doesn't certainly win you a World Series if you don't have pitching, Keith.
Hey, Ariel, I've been shouting this from the mountaintops. The Mets need to go get another pitcher. There was too much this offseason of them saying, oh, Montas will be fine, Manaea will be fine, these will be guys that can lead us, Kodai Senga will be fine. Senga's super, super talented, but I don't know what the book is on him staying healthy. I don't know if Dylan Cease is going to be available. I would love him there. I don't know if Sandy Alcantara would be available. So, all right, I think that's a great conversation. So with the way that DeGrom is pitching, and I mean, he is like all world again, do you truly believe that the Mets could find a way to get him back there?
Oh, gosh. No, but it would be hilarious if it happened. I just don't see a world where the Mets, or nonetheless, the Rangers would be willing to give him up. But again, anything could happen in baseball. The Mets do need a pitcher. It's kind of like Verlander-esque of bringing somebody in who's past their prime, but you thought you could get more out of them. I don't even think DeGrom would want to go back.
Nice. All right. Let's move to the LA Dodgers. So, Ariel, the Dodgers are 20 games over 500. They are really good, like we all expected. You know, Shohei Ohtani has been on the bump now twice, pitched a total of 2 innings. Looks like, you know, if he could stay healthy, just add another arm to that rotation. How about Clayton Kershaw? Couple of strikeouts, a handful of strikeouts. Now he's, what, 3 away from 3K? This guy just continues to put it out there. Now, how do you bet him, though? Can you, like, are you willing to bet on Kershaw, or do you stay away from him?
Wait, I'm so happy we brought this up. This is making me, like, smile so big. Yesterday, in my PropQueen.com newsletter, I said, Clayton Kershaw tonight, or this afternoon, it was yesterday afternoon, he's getting a team that strikes out a ton. And Kershaw had a strikeout prop of 4.5. Kershaw has actually done pretty well this season in hitting that number against against high K rate teams. So yesterday against Colorado, I was looking at Kershaw against the high K rate teams he's faced. He had 7 against St. Louis, 5 against San Francisco, 4 against Washington, but he's gotten better throughout the season. Yet my concern about Kershaw yesterday, he hasn't gone over 4.5 strikeouts at Coors Field since September 19th of 2020. So I was like, okay, ooh, some people just don't do well in altitude. Kershaw clearly has not done well in altitude. So when he went over yesterday, he now became the 14th straight lefty to go over 4.5 strikeouts against Colorado. The last one to go under against the Colorado Rockies, who's a left-hander of 4.5 Ks, was Andrew Abbott on April 25th. So that is 14 straight left-handers to have 5 or more strikeouts against Colorado.
So you're saying that whoever is going up against the Rockies, if they're a lefty, if the prop is set at 4.5, take the over?
Yeah, and Clayton Kershaw proved that yesterday, going over 4.5 at Coors for the first time in 5 years.
I like it. I like it. All right, Cubs got Shota Umaga back, and he was really, really good. 5 scoreless innings. Stormy and I were talking about it yesterday. We were a little bit leery of his strikeout prop because we just weren't sure what we were going to get innings-wise from him. Did you play him yesterday or you didn't?
No, I don't like playing anything but unders for players coming off the IL. Umaga got a Cardinals team that they average more strikeouts against lefties than righties, which is why you see more lefties go over against St. Louis, because they average about 1 strikeout more per game, lefty starters, than righties against the Cards. Umaga's a lefty, so you knew at that point he had a shot because the Cards splits, but I couldn't get... See, the... 3.5, and then it went to 4.5. It kept going back and forth, and coming off the IL, if it's going to be an over, I'm a stay away. If I like an under, I'll bet it for a guy coming off the IL. Really impressive, though, Keith, for him to be able to do that.
And if he can stay healthy for the rest of the year, the Cubs are a very dangerous team in the National League.
They're going to win because I didn't bet them this year. I always freaking bet their win total, and I always bet them to win the division.
Isn't it like 3 years in a row that you've bet them to win the division? Something like that? Or is it
more? You're talking about the Padres.
Yeah, I know the Padres, yes. But the don't you usually like the Cubs too? Am I wrong?
No, I do. You pick the Cubs last year? Been a couple. I definitely had their over win total last year, and then I jumped in on it live at the All-Star break, and they lost by 2.
All right, we are off and running. Lots of baseball talk. We'll get into basketball and hockey and all the such coming up a little bit. Keith Irizarry, Ariel Epstein with you on Money Moves right here on VSiN. Do not go anywhere.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you looking for a more exciting way to bet? It's called xcutta.com. That is spelled X-C-U-T-T-A, and it's the future of futures wagering. It combines the adrenaline of a live auction with the strategy of sports betting or fantasy picks. It's easy to use, and it works for any sport. Over 1,000 teams, players, golfers, and drivers. xCutta is adaptable to any sport, even horse racing, and it's free to sign up. You can pick up whoever you want to bid on, customize your own auction, set your winnings, invite your friends to play. You can even create auctions for free. xCutta has free auctions every day at 3, 6, and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Send an email to support@xcutta.com. Mention VSiN, and they'll give you a 3-month player promo code to get started. xCutta, it is a sports Calcutta. Again, that's xcutta.com. X-C-U-T-T-A. Keith Irizarry, Ariel Epstein with you on Money Moves on VSiN. We'll dive in a little bit more to the baseball slate as we take a look at some of the games that start either before 7 p.m. or in the 7 p.m. hour. Mets and the Pirates. So Mets, they're the favorites here. -160 on the money line. Over, under, 8.5 at the Pirates. Peterson and Mitch Keller. And something that I think all of us that have followed along with you during your career, you love talking about fishy lines. You used to do this all the time on MLB Network. You do this on your podcast all the time as well, and all the different networks that you work for. Anything fishy on this one?
Oh, this one stinks, Keith. I saw the line move overnight from -164 Mets to -146. So when the line's moving against a favorite like that, with the lefty David Peterson on the mound, on the road against the Pirates and Mitch Keller, nonetheless, the Mets are getting almost 90% of action, bets, money, the books moving it against them. So why? Well, obviously the Mets coming off series split with the Braves. They won the final 2 games. But yesterday, as we mentioned at the top of the show, the Mets lost Griffin Canning after 2 2/3 innings, which meant the Mets had to use 4 bullpen arms. If you look at the MLB bullpen usage website, it is like red and orange for nearly every single Mets reliever, because they obviously wanted to take over the National League East again and have a good division record by taking the last 2 against the Braves. So Peterson's on 4 days rest. He hasn't done that well on 4 days rest this season. Mitch Keller, he's had 11 quality starts, but he can't win. The team's 3-13 when he starts a game because they're giving him two runs of run support a game, the Pirates. Mitch Keller pitches much better at home. The Mets are in a letdown spot after a really tough series against the Braves. I like the Pirates here at plus 125, plus 130 on the money line, but it stinks to high hell, Keith, that this line has moved nearly 20 cents against the Mets.
I mean, what if I told you, though, that, I don't know, Mark Vientos is likely back in the lineup and Pete Alonso went 3-4
yesterday. We're
going to,
like, bet the Mets because he's the first day on, off the IL after a month? Yeah, that one got me.
I'm trying to help all you Mets fans out there. What if I told you that to add to that Mitch Keller number, he's winless in 15 consecutive starts? Like, that's a big number.
Keller, I didn't realize how bad it was because obviously the Pirates are just like the third worst team in baseball in scoring runs at home.
Yeah.
The Pirates also don't score with Paul Skenes on the mound. I'm starting to do the DeGrom with the old school Mets kind of thing, where when DeGrom pitched for the Mets and they averaged 1-2 runs a game, I always took the team total under on the Mets when DeGrom pitched. I'm starting to do that now with Paul Skenes. It's worse for Mitch Keller. In fact, the 2.1 runs of support that Mitch Keller gets is the lowest among qualified starters this season. That is pathetic. So maybe you go Pirates team total under like down the stretch, but right now, Keith, it's just the Mets are in a bad spot, and maybe this game ends like 2-1. Maybe it's just an absolute pitcher's duel. I just have no interest because the Mets are going to have to leave David Peterson in, even if he's struggling and getting into jams, because their bullpen is exhausted.
And Peterson coming off a season-high 5 runs in his last game on Sunday. The A's and the Yankees. Yankees heavy favorites here. The over-under set at 8.5. Game will be pitched at 7:05, rather. Mitch Spence and Will Warren on the mound. The Yankees played 16 consecutive days. They are back home. They got their final. They got a day off finally on Thursday, and here they are. So the Yankees are a weird team to try to figure out as well, too, because when things are going well, they look like they should be back in the ALCS and maybe further. When things are going bad, they look like, do they play baseball? Are they a difficult team for you to handicap?
Absolutely, because you're paying a premium on the New York Yankees, just like the LA Dodgers, just like the LA Lakers. You don't get the Yankees at a fair price. Even when they're struggling, they're like minus 200. I said it the other day. I forget who was pitching for the Yankees, and I was handicapping this game. It was one of their like 4 or 5 starters. Maybe it was like Clark Schmidt. And I said, there is no reason that the Yankees should be minus 200 with Clark Schmidt on the mound. It just made no sense. So the same thing goes here. I am seeing the steam on the Yankees, but Will Warren's been pitching pretty well. The Athletics in somewhat of a hole. But the Yankees, going back to your question, they can't hit with runners in scoring position. They're hitting 165 with runners in scoring position in their last 14 games. They were hitting 116 before the Cincy series. Everything goes through Aaron Judge. With him back at home, it's better. He does really well at home, but he's doing okay now, hitting 308. Jazz Chisholm's heating up a bit. The A's, Nick Kurtz, he's also been doing great, hitting 303 with 10 homers and 22 ribbies. So he'll like hitting with the short porch and hitting with Yankee Stadium. But with Spence pitching, he's making his 5th start since rejoining the rotation. After 3 great starts, the Angels and Astros, Spence was roughed up by the Guardians on Saturday. Now he's coming to Yankee Stadium. I mean, I understand why this team's moving in favor of the Yankees against an Athletics team that you just can't trust them either, and the Yankees are at home. I saw a 30-cent move, Keith, by the way, minus 220 to minus 250 on the Yanks. Yeah.
Yeah, and the Yankees have been in first place in the AL East every single day since April 14th. That's 74 consecutive days. Their lead has dwindled to 0.5 game over the Rays. So obviously tonight becomes important just for that. You want to continue to hold on to that. You mentioned Jazz Chisholm. I think there's a few ways to attack Chisholm. Markets obviously hits, right? Like he's batting .329 over the 20 games in June.
Do you have a thrown out of game stat?
I don't have a book that I've been able to find that in, but what I was going to say is if you wanted to go with like a negative, that's a good one.
Are we going to
make our own bets? I like that. The negative one I was going to throw out is a strikeout, right? Like if you have a book that you can get strikeouts on for the hitters, Jazz Chisholm will strike out. A couple of more games I want to sneak in. Twins and Tigers. This is an interesting one because we don't know the pitcher yet for the Twins. Sawyer Gibson Long mm-hmm. is playing for the pitching for the Tigers. When you look at the Detroit Tigers, I think a lot of people coming in thought the over on the win total felt good. It feels great right now. Are you a firm believer that they could be a team that could represent the American League in the World Series?
Ooh, World Series.
Because that's
they've
a
got
heck
the
of a future.
To do it. Hey, you're talking to somebody who bet them to win the division. So I love the Tigers from the jump of the season because when you looked at the American League, they had the best starting rotation, the best 1-2 punch, and they had the best bullpen. They also, as long as the Tigers aren't like the Orioles were, where their young bats flame out in the big spot again this year. Last year, they lost in the playoffs. Now you have a chip on your shoulder. You know that you could get there. You know you belong there. Great manager in AJ Hinch in Detroit. Again, we mentioned this. Pitching wins you championships. So if the Detroit pitching between Tarek Skubal and Jack Flaherty and the bullpen doesn't have another cold streak, which it had, which I think they're getting better now, Detroit can definitely be a team in this weaker American League and a Yankees without Gerrit Cole kind of league. They can make it. And that Central Division's tough. I think the Royals will get a little bit better throughout the year. I have still to this day zero clue why the books favored Minnesota to win this division. It still boggles my mind. But the Detroit Tigers are legit. And because of their manager, AJ Hinch, I do have faith that he could lead them to a World Series.
Yeah, I'm with you. I never really understood the Twins one. All right, Blue Jays and the Red Sox, Barrios and Brian Bello. Red Sox have now lost 6 of 9 since dealing away Rafael Devers. Shocking that they would struggle when they trade away their best hitter. It's really weird. The Blue Jays have also won 5 of 7 against the Red Sox this year. Vladdy may or may not play today. For me, this was a stay-away game because of that. Anything in this one that you liked?
I don't trust Jose Barrios on the road ever. We're talking about a Red Sox team that averages about 5 to 6 strikeouts a game against righty starters, and Barrios at 5.5 Ks is juiced to the under around minus 160. Toronto also doesn't strike out, and Brian Bello has never been nice to me. But again, if I had to pick a side, I would always fade Barrios on the road. Red Sox minus 121 money line doesn't scare me with them at home. Fade the public, Keith. People are always off of teams that are going cold, and I will fade the public every time and fade Jose Barrios on the road.
I like a little taste of what we are seeing in some of the earlier games. We'll get to some of the later games as well. We got a whole boatload of props that we'll hit in our prop shop segment coming up. But after this, we bring in our guy, Jensen Lewis. You catch him each and every day right here on VSiN in the mornings. VSiN by the books. One of the best that does it. Great handicapper. Also has the same haircut as me. I love it. It's VSiN.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Here on Money Moves on VSiN, Keith Irizarry, Ariel Epstein with you on a Friday afternoon. And we go now to our progressive guest line and bring in our guy, Jensen Lewis, co-host VSiN by the books. And my favorite thing about him, besides the fact that he knows baseball, is that he has a great haircut. And finally, I feel welcomed because Ariel hopped on. Like, I get stuck working with Ariel and Stormy, and they've got this long blonde hair or whatever. Now we rule. Right, Jensen?
We have to do what we have to do to try and make it look and sound good. Always a difficult task to accomplish, but we do our best day in and day out.
Yes, we do. All right, let's start off with doing his best. Griffin Canning, it's been a weird season for him, a little bit up and down. Obviously, a brutal injury yesterday. So from a pitcher standpoint, like, what did you see from there? And then bad journalism, two questions. How is the recovery for a pitcher for an Achilles injury going to be?
Yeah, guys, honestly, not the best, right? And knowing what you saw in real time and then the replay, a very bad year for Achilles, no matter what sport you play, unfortunately. So the short answer, Keith, is that we knew Steve Cohen, this front office, they were going to go out and add at the deadline. Now, all of a sudden, they may have an extra thing to put on the to-do list, and that would be some depth starting pitching. I'm kind of anxious to see, you know, as we get to the All-Star break, what some of those conversations are like, because there are going to be multiple teams that are going to be involved in that starting pitching market. So I think acquisition costs certainly is something to consider, but you feel terrible for the player because he was one of those diamonds in the rough that, you know, David Stearns and this front office are like, we'll go out and get him. I think he can be someone that can really be an addition at the bottom of this rotation, and you hope you get a healthy Kodai Senga back and Sean Manaea. Geez, loose bodies in the elbow, not what Met fans wanted to hear. But here we are again, more starting pitching issues that the Mets will have to overcome to get back to the NLCS.
Jensen, as a former MLB pitcher, we were talking about this earlier. The Pittsburgh Pirates just are not giving their starting pitchers any run support. Mitch Keller is getting just two runs a game. Paul Skeens is getting a max of two runs a game. Both of those pitchers are pitching incredible for Pittsburgh, and yet their offense is giving them nothing. How, as a pitcher, do you get out on the mound every day and think, oh, I'm going to win? Well, maybe the pitcher does, but the hitters certainly don't.
You sue for run support, Ariel, and if you can, find great representation to be able to get that. You are so right that, you know, you look at these efforts, not only from Skeens and Keller. I mean, Bailey Falter has been awesome. Andrew Heaney has been great. You almost go into these outings, Ariel, and you think, if I give up three runs or more, the game is over because my offense just has not had that consistency to be able to put up the bigger offensive performances. And we're not screaming from the rooftops here that you need to score five a night. But, you know, the second worst league offense as far as runs scored, I believe the Pirates are tied with the Royals for the least amount of homers for the season. And there's really not a lot to write home about from a, oh, we're excited for what's coming here from an offensive standpoint overall. So tough way to do business here. And the going doesn't get easier because of who the Pirates are going up against, the Mets, and also with the Cardinals and the Mariners, too, in their next handful of series.
Jensen Lewis joining us right here on Money Moves. Keith Irizarry, Ariel Epstein. Mariners and the Rangers a little bit later tonight, 8:05 p.m. start. Logan Gilbert and Nathan Eovaldi. Eovaldi back on the bump. He was looking awesome early before the triceps injury. How would you handicap this game? What are you looking at in this one?
Do very much, Keith, like the under here. Early this morning, gave it out to under 7.5. Looks like it has ticked down here to 7 at Circa. And again, a couple of great things going here. First and foremost, the Rangers, I believe, the best team in Major League Baseball to the under as a home team. So we'll take that one. You mentioned Eovaldi coming off the triceps injury. Always a little bit of trepidation when you have a starter coming back, you know, from an arm injury like that. But I think for him, just overall, a veteran that's going to know how to go ahead and navigate this Mariners lineup that all of a sudden shows some signs of life in the offensive department, of course, with Cal Raleigh in there, but more so seeing some of the supporting cast, too, with Julio Rodriguez, Jorge Polanco, and some of the other guys. Although it is not really an offense that you just circle and say, gosh, we're going to have to limit a lot of run production, it is one that has trended much better towards the top. Conversely now, guys, with Logan Gilbert, really good career numbers in his tenure there at Globe Life Field, and I think a sub-2.7 ERA in six career starts there. So like what he's done coming back from his own IL injury, and again, a Texas offense that, as you guys have seen, when is it going to get together? I mean, there is plenty of talent, but there has been absolutely nothing that you can really hang your hat out and say they're actually coming out of it. So love the spot here. Love these two starting pitchers and also the back ends of these bullpens to keep both offenses at bay.
Great starting matchup between Gilbert and Eovaldi there. But in the Cubs and Astros game, unless you're a true baseball diehard or a former Major League Baseball pitcher like yourself, the names Cade Horton and Brandon Walter probably do not stand out to the average baseball fan. But yet the Cubs are playing the Astros, and that's the starting pitching matchup. What do you see in this game?
Ariel, honestly, this is an interesting trend game too. Chicago in non-league games, so meaning matching up against American League teams, are 10-5 on the money line. That is the best mark in Major League Baseball thus far. Also, looking at where Cade Horton has really thrown the ball quite well, I did like him as a shorter money line favorite here. That's kind of flipped now back to Houston, $1.15 here at Circa. I got $1.09 on the Cubs at DraftKings. And you mentioned Walter too. I actually do like, if you're looking to to play a player prop here. His under 2.5 earned runs, if you can find that, and that's still available. That one I wouldn't be shy about jumping on. Houston has had a really great run here in limiting offenses. Example A, the Philadelphia Phillies can't hit water falling out of a boat the last series. But I do think that both sides find a way to limit each offense. I will lean the Cubs here to try and get a closely contested win there at Daikin Park.
It's crazy, right? Because depending on how today ends, we could end up with 18 teams hitting the midway point of Major League Baseball season and 18 teams being 500 or better, which is nuts. I think it's a good thing. All right, I want to go back to another game. Padres and the Reds, Dylan Cease and Nick Martinez. Because the stats would tell you that Dylan Cease has not been good, right? Like, you look at his ERA, it's 4.43, but really it's been like two very, very bad games. Rest of the season has been average to above average. How do you view Dylan Cease, and is there a way to attack this game?
For sure, guys. The Padres 8-2 to the over is an away favorite, and that's what they'll be tonight, as you mentioned, with Dylan Cease on the mound, Nick Martinez going for the Cincinnati Reds. Guys, having gone to high school in Cincinnati, I can tell you, and then having played at Great American Ballpark, this is the time of year where you start to see those fly balls carry with the heat and the humidity. As I sit here in Northeast Ohio, as we just get bombarded by thunderstorms, I think the thunder is going to come out in a big way, not only tonight, but potentially for the rest of this series. So I do like the over 9. Even with Cease having, you know, his issues, I do think the Reds offense, which trended better, and Ariel, I'm sure you had a keen eye watching it with the Yankees in town there. It just felt like they were so close to having some potential breakouts, and there were some runs scored here. But I think tonight, both offenses potentially with upper hands here, and with the heat and humidity the way it is, I think it trends a bit more to an over with both offenses being able to capitalize.
Speaking of my Yankees, the Yankees and the Dodgers, they are always teams, Jensen, that you're paying a premium on them. They are the most popular teams in baseball and some of the most popular teams in all of sports. For the people that, especially the public, love to just back the Yankees and the Dodgers because they are so good, what is the best approach to betting both of these teams?
Yeah, and particularly tonight, another intriguing spot here. You know, you have the Athletics and you have the Yankees. And again, I'll still go with the over here. We know at Yankee Stadium that ball is going to travel. And I think just particularly the matchup in and of itself lends to both offenses being able to get the better of both starting pitchers here. So I'll take the over in this game tonight. And I think more so than anything, I know the Yankees have had that trend. What is it, 14 or 15 games in a row where they've had the under hit? I think tonight that ends, and they find a way to get out in a big way here. So Will Warren, I tell you, it's been a sneaky good year. If you haven't seen him as a mainstream media member, this guy's put it together. He's had a couple of hiccups, but I think also if you want to target another player prop, his under on the earned runs, if it's still around 2.5, great. I think you could still take a shot on the under 1.5 just because the A's, for whatever reason, guys, away from Sacramento have had some issues scoring some runs. I know they put it on Tarek Skubal here the other day up in Motown in Detroit, but I think Warren can really limit the Athletic bats tonight.
Jensen, 30 seconds. The Rangers, are they closer to being a playoff team or to selling players off at the deadline?
Wow, great question, Keith, and because they're going to have attractive assets. If they do want to sell, you're thinking Tyler Mahle, you're thinking Adolis Garcia. My heart of hearts, I hope they turn it around because I would love to see this be a three-horse race in the American League West between Houston, Seattle, and Texas. And I know I don't want to forget my LA Angel fans and JVT. I'm sure he's yelling all the way out from the West Coast. But, you know, I think there's got to be an opportunity. It's the next couple of weeks, guys. If they don't turn it around here by the All-Star break, I think they could both buy and sell at the same time.
Jensen, thank you for bringing the shine for our TV audience to our airwaves.
I'm so glad
you're
that
the best.
You made me feel included.
I feel thanks, welcome. Guys. I do. Have a great weekend, brother. We got a lot more to do. Let's get out there. Some other bets you might want to hit this weekend. Right here on VSiN.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All Are you ready to get in on the action? First Bet has you covered. Sign up now, and you can access exclusive promotions and bet on hundreds of thrilling horse races every day right from your phone or your computer. Visit firstbet.com. That is the number one and then stbet.com, and you use the promo code VSIN200. That gets you a 20% rebate on all of your wagers for the first 60 days of up to $200. You do not want to miss out on this, so start betting today at firstbet.com. Here's a segment we're going to call Let's Get Out There. All right, so again, there's no basketball NBA games. There's WNBA, and that'll be a part of this. There's no NBA right now. There's no NFL right now. There's no, you know, hockey right now. Now, you can bet on markets and stuff like that, and we could do that at other times. But if you want, like, live game action and you're trying to find things, Ariel has got you covered. So Ariel and I have known each other for many years. We follow each other on Instagram as well. So I love when you post things and I'm like, huh, really? So you posted the other day that you're in on lacrosse betting now. Discuss. How did that happen?
Premier Lacrosse is growing. I have been asked the last couple of years to do it. And last year, my good friend Kelly in Vegas got involved with it. She said it was a ton of fun. There's also just it's an easy sport to attack betting wise. Kelly's like, I made a ton of money off betting lacrosse. It's small market. The books aren't paying as heavy attention to it. Of course, you're going to be limited to some capacity, but it is a very winnable sport, Keith. Just looking at trends, looking at, oh, this trend happened. So now the total seems a little fishy because let's say like tonight, the New York Atlas are taking on the Utah Archers. 23.5 is one of the lowest totals that these two have had. And the under has hit in six of the last seven matchups. Even the last time that the total was even lower than this back in 2020, the match went under. So you look at these numbers and it's not like baseball and football and basketball, where there's a reason the book has booked it this low. A lot of the times when it's fishy looking, it typically means, yeah, continue it. Bet the under. So I like looking at trends in lacrosse, and it just kind of works out.
So here's another thing. All right, so we see this, especially, let's say, like college basketball, right? If you are betting on a smaller conference, there are edges to find. Like, is that how you kind of feel about this? That there are the edges in this because it's a market that people just isn't tapping into that often?
Absolutely. If you know what to look for in Premier Lacrosse, it's exactly like betting some kind of mid-major in college basketball. You could find all these edges, and I've been doing it with props. The props started off a little wonky the first 2 weeks, but the last couple of weeks, the props have done really well. We're on like a 6-2 run. And like Kelly even said her video.
I'm interrupting you. What props? What are the props that we can bet on? What do you like?
We bet a lot of like over 1.5 points or under 3.5 points. Okay. There are certain players, like for example, I'm going to pull up, there's an injury report that just came out. And I was looking at one of the players that's potentially Jeff Teat. He is the one under 4.5 points. It got pretty juiced, but he popped up on the injury report this week. So if he goes, he's not going to be 100%. He'll be playing a team that's gone 3-1 to the under this year because their time of possession on offense is pretty strong, coming off an 8-point performance. But before that, he had 1-6, 1 point. He's been really inconsistent this year. I know it's scary, but with the risk of injury and the inconsistency, you could find a lot of these good markets for someone like an under 4.5 points. Last week, we took an under 3.5 points. That's typically the market that I'd be attacking, is those points markets. And like you could get like the Cannons and the Chaos tomorrow under 1.5, 2-point goals. Those kinds of prop markets I just feel are the best because, yeah, the books are going to look at the spread, the total, the money line. Now we're going to dive into props. I mean, I found a new guy, Jared Bernhardt, who was crushing last week, and we had the over on his points. So I'm like becoming a new fan of all these different lacrosse players that I never thought that I would be rooting for.
I like it. I'm looking at some of the save props, McNaney and Irlen. Save props, McNaney is set at 13.5 in the Denver Outlaws, California Redwoods game. Irlen is set at 12.5. I wish that we had ground balls. Hopefully this market continues to grow and we could start having ground ball props, because again, as a father of two kids who used to play defense in lacrosse, ground balls are crucial. And if you don't have possession of the ball, then you can't get shots. So I think that would be fun. All right,
it's
so
fun
we're going
too, because these games tonight are so late, and I decided that after about six straight days of drinking, I should stay home tonight and lock myself in my apartment. So that's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to be watching these games that start 9 p.m. Eastern is Denver, California, and then 11:30 p.m. Eastern is the New York Atlas and the Utah Archers, and everything's on ESPN+. So I'm going to be watching all these tonight. I know that my girl Kelly in Vegas loves Denver. It's the first time that California is favored in this matchup. Denver's 2-1 against the spread. And listen, if they're going to favor Cal for the first time in four meetings, but Denver has really had California's number, I'm going to go take Denver on the money line with Kelly. But underdogs, Keith, underdogs have been crushing it. They are 13-3 against the spread to start the Premier Lacrosse season. So if you like to bet dogs, go barking in Premier Lacrosse.
Love it. This is cool. All right, so you're finally we're going Outlaws money line. And what did you pick in the Archers Atlas game? What was the final pick?
My best bet is the Atlas and Archers under.
Got it. Okay, so we're going under there. All right, so
you get plus 105 for that.
Nice. Here's a market that I am dabbling in now. So you and I have known each other for a while. I love baseball, love football, love hockey, and I love basketball, right? So I, cards on table, love the WNBA and watch it, but betting-wise had kind of stayed away from it the last couple of years. Last year, I started messing with it a little bit. This year, I am as well. So I'm trying to find angles in some of these games. Let's run through the four games. If you have anything in them, add to it. I have a pick in each one. We'll go Fever and the Wings first. The problem with this game right off the bat is we don't know if Caitlin Clark is going to play. My guess, she doesn't play. So 168.5 seems to be one of the lines in that one. It's been under pretty much all the time in that one. I'm going to take an under on their point total in this game. It's not a number that we're typically going to see, so we're going to go under on the point total, Fever and the Wings.
Paige Bueckers, also be looking at her props, especially if Caitlin Clark isn't playing. Paige Bueckers overs is something that I don't cap WNBA as much, but on my podcast, I bring WNBA cappers on all week long to help me out. And everybody was saying, with or without Caitlin Clark, Paige Bueckers overs in this matchup is the way to play the Dallas Wings.
Like it. Lynx and the Dream, Nafisha Collier, likely the MVP if the season were to end today. She's going to sit out a second consecutive game, has a back issue right now. But Kayla McBride has been absolutely on fire. 29 points, 5 threes on Saturday for the Lynx. So I'll take the Lynx to cover this one. And I've seen this number continue to move a lot. I got in at 7. So I'll take the Lynx to cover the 7 points.
Nothing in this game for me, okay. But I know that the Lynx are a tough team to beat.
Next one, Liberty and the Mercury. If you have anything, jump in. If not, Liberty, they've lost 3 of their last 5. They're still 11-3 on the season, so they're still really good. But John Cole Jones, sprained ankle, going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. So I'm looking at this one as in Brianna Stewart and Sabrina Ionescu are the stars for the Liberty. Let's go Stewart over 20.5 points. She's averaging 21 points per game and averaging 24.7 over the last 4. So I'm going to go with Stewie to be the leader there for the Liberty.
I heard the same thing from my people in the WNBA. They love the Stewie props. They're loving all the star players, actually, for once, going over their props in these matchups for today's slate. Just today's slate, though. It has nothing to do with, like, I almost just knocked my laptop over. Just for today's slate, I just heard a lot of good things about the matchups for these star players, so I don't mind those Stewie props either.
Sneak in one more. Chicago, Golden State. Chicago, losers of 6 of their last 8 games, just 4-10 in the season. Golden State actually now 500, now 7-7. But we're going to go with Mrs. Mebound in Angel Reese, but not for her rebound. So with Camila Cardoso out, she's joining the Brazilian national team, so she's going to be missing in action. We're going to go over 11.5 points for Angel Reese. Got in at minus 114. She's coming off 18 points, 17 boards, 6 assists, 4 steals in a win over the Sparks. Do you like that prop, and do you like her nickname of Mebounds?
I like the nickname of Mebounds better than the Valkyries, because I had to look up what the hell a Valkyrie was at the beginning of the season. And it's like some mythical creature that I forget what the definition is, but it's a pretty interesting thing. All I know from my first few weeks of covering the WNBA, we fade the Chicago Sky. They are like the worst team in the WNBA, so I have no interest in backing them.
Yeah, no, we're not going to roll with the Sky. They have been pretty bad this year, but Angel Reese, there are bets to be had with her. We're going to go over 11.5. Hour one in the books. Hour number two coming up on the other side. A lot more baseball with Ariel Epstein and Keith Irizarry right here. It is Money Moves on VSiN.